Get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work on a Sunday morning. And this is our 240th show. So we're really excited to be starting that on our new time slot on Sunday mornings. We used to be on it on the Monday evening at 7 p.m. And now we are joining you on Sunday mornings. So if we have any new people listening and wanting to join in with us, welcome. If you don't know about us, we'll tell you a little bit about that. The show that we do is designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, and he has access to great knowledge and wisdom for us. And this week's show is going to be about manifesting and creating in our world, really. And it's all about, like I was saying, I'll tell you about the show. It's all about the spirit world's perspective on how they see us and our world, and helping us by maybe giving us their observations about what they feel and what they see and sense. And also we talk about their world and outer world experiences, and you name it, we cover it. So the only thing we don't do is we don't do readings. Although, having said that, we are going to be having some mediums on in the next few weeks, coming weeks, on the program to give you some readings. So to put you in touch with your loved ones, maybe. So that's all coming up in a few weeks' time. And if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our, shall we say, topic of discussion, you can. It doesn't have to be a question. You can maybe just call in for a chat about it and your thoughts on it. The phone lines are open, and it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And any international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But that last number, actually, you do have to pay for.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present and growing bbsradio.com, and at this time at 10 a.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching on Tuesdays on artistfirst.com, and that is actually currently at 7 p.m. PST, but that also is going to be moving at some point, isn't it, in the next couple of weeks?
No, that's what it's going to be in a few weeks.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's 10 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. I completely screwed that then, didn't I?
Okay.
Oh, well, never mind. Anyway, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com. and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show. I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else, leaving my physical body like a kind of husk, I suppose, for them to take over and use. Now, please do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got time to go through too much chit-chat and information at the beginning of each show, because it will take up way too much valuable time. So I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take, hopefully, a few seconds or so for Gregory to come and take over the whole show, really.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. It's all about Gregory. So I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory while Mick's going off. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, and he's continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. Now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information that we bring on this program from the group and from ourselves is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. Actually, this evening you can also see us on, come and visit us on secondlife.com as well in a few hours' time at the Mystic Academy, and that'll be at 1 o'clock Pacific. So if you want to join us and interact with Gregory again then, do come along. So yeah, it's wonderful to be here on a Sunday morning. I'm loving it already. So hopefully our listeners will on, and if you're a new listener, please do give us a ring just to say hi. That would be nice. As well as obviously our faithful fans. Hello, Gregory, are you here?
With love and light, let's be upon your journey, my dear friend, little bird.
Thank you. Or should I say Gregory's faithful fans? You get more emails than we do, Gregory.
Yes, but I don't actually answer them straight away. I have a bit of a backlog, I think.
Okay. Well, today we're going to be talking about manifestation and creating in our world. And I know that you actually wanted to start off by giving us a preamble on where you want to go with this.
Yes, well, really, to say in a sense that ideas that when you are wanting to manifest something, what is it that you actually do? We take it from our side of life that the energy that we see transpiring, spiraling from you, coming to our side of life in the sense of thoughts, in the sense of prayers, and in a way of delivering or creating energy, because of course thought is a living thing, so therefore it means that the energy you are creating is something of consequence. However, it does not necessarily mean to say that the way in which this thought that you have created actually then enables interactivity from other situations from your side of life or from our side of life. Really though, what we're talking about this time is specifically to do with your side of life, so that if thoughts are living things and you place thought into the universe, how is it transpired into activity, into action? Part of what we are understanding and creating here is a pathway into really resolution of the mind. What you have to understand is what happens when you create a thought, when you want to, shall we say that you want to bring something about in your physical life that isn't happening yet. This might be that you would want to perhaps be relocated somewhere else upon the planet. Perhaps you don't like where you live or something like that. So you put the thought into the ether world, you collect it, you concentrate upon that thought as a prayer or invocation or some kind of communication to the spirit world, and that's all very well and fine. Except for the fact that what it actually does is perhaps something a little more interesting than just merely sending a thought out to the ether world. Because what it actually does is, in a sense, it cements the very resolution of your thought. So that it's not just a random thought, but it becomes a thought which is very collective. That means because of your concentration of energy, because of the love energy that you attach to the thought, or the wishing, or the instigation of the thought to begin with, you are actually putting it into the universe, yes, but you are also centering yourself into activity surrounding the thought. Now, obviously, if you then say a prayer or a thought, or whatever, to the universe, and then your mind goes completely off track and you don't think of it again, ever. It's obviously not going to work, because you have dissolved the energy you created within yourself. So in a sense, much of what you actually do and create through thoughts are the activity you create yourself by having the thoughts in the first place, and as it kind of, in a sense, galvanizes the way in which you wish to illuminate your pathway. So this means to say then that from our observations of it, of the whole platform of thought and the way you manifest or want to manifest your dreams, materialize your wishes, wants, and desires, these are thoughts. Thoughts are living things which collect the cells of thought, your intention of thought, into the universe. It also sends your intention of thought into your actual physical activity. A case in point to this would be, for example, within the recent troubles in the Middle East. And you have a situation where people were actually pleading for the warring factions, the warring parties, to stop fighting because, in point of fact, it was killing mostly innocent civilians. The fact that that was something that perhaps sent up a great many prayers to the spirit world and all of that, yes, I understand all of that. But what good did it actually do? You may well turn around and say, oh, well, it did do good in the end, because actually what happened was they stopped fighting. Yes, but actually the point was that in rational thinking and logic, because you must apply rational thinking and logic when dealing with the spirit world, because it is actually a rational resolution. It isn't this etheric, mystical world which so many have painted. It's exactly like a mirror version of your world, but in fact is non-physical. So it means to say, then, that what you are creating within the passage of thought, you send up all of these prayers, and you will illuminate that, oh, well, you see, as I told you so, it has done so much good, and it, even though it took a lot of days for it to resonate properly. The point of fact is, what actually stopped it, what actually made the situation become evident that they had to draw a line in the sand and create peace of even a tenuous nature, was that fact of the voices of dissent against it. You are living in a physical life, which means to say, if you want to do something or correct something to do with your natural world or to do with your behavior or your environment, you have to action it. All of the prayers in the world are not going to stop it. You actually have to go out and do something physical, is my premise, in order to actually bring that about. Now, you may well pray to the spirit world or to whatever your envisaging of the creation of all life is in order to stop it. That's like saying you are asking, in a sense, for a billion aliens to come and rescue you from the rotten planet that you yourselves have created. My point here is purely and simply that as beings, what you really need to do is to stand up, have a voice, regain your voice, is to actually say what is on your mind. Speak of what it is you wish to manifest in your physical life, and then go and create it.
Okay, you carry on.
Oh, very well. So then, how are you going to do this? How is manifesting and creating actually going to change your life? Well, quite simply, even when you bring about a prayer of peace, or when you bring about a prayer of love, shall we say, toward a certain situation, what you are doing, and I'm not talking about necessarily at this time anything to do with illness of human beings. That's, in a sense, a different matter. I understand that many would say, well, if you send prayers to the ether world, then the energy of love should surely change those people's minds. But they may not hear your prayers. They may not be a party to them, purely and simply because their negativity and their ill will during wartime is as such as their vibration has lowered to such a degree that they hear nothing except the sound of their own ammunition and their own lethal weapon. So, what then? How are you going to collect or correct the energy you bring out into your world? That is really the crux of the whole matter. And for our sense and understanding, this is what we wanted to bring about, really talk about in this episode.
Okay, so really we're talking about the differences between actually projecting our manifesting thoughts of peace and that sort of thing, into actually doing something, following it through with positive action.
With
basically.
Positive physical action. Yes. And understanding as well that when you collect yourself for a prayer, you're also collecting yourself in the same way for, in a sense, a kind of intention. So that means then you've collected yourself for your prayer to give of your understanding, to give of your energy to a solution of a problem. So why don't you have the same attentive state to resolve a problem in your physical life? I see many people who are disillusioned and many people who are disparate about their the energies around them are finding it very difficult to cope with the forces unrivaled against them. However, I am saying that if you are collected about the thoughts that you create and your instigation of those thoughts in exactly the same way as you would send a prayer to God, in exactly the same way as you would send a prayer for the recovery of a loved one during illness. This is exactly the same. What you are doing is you are collecting your consciousness for a certain goal. And that means that you can use exactly the same prayer in order to define what goal it is you wish to meet. So there it is. You have focused and delivered not just an opinion, but that means then that you'll be able to follow it through. And you'll be able to follow it through either vocally or in a writing skill or some other way that you will actually then be able to draw all of these different strands of energy together in order to make your purpose, your prayer, your dream become reality.
Okay. So basically, we have to actually actively take steps to change our reality and the world's reality, and that we are all bouncing off of each other's negativity, aren't we? And
at this present time, yes.
Getting involved in deciphering incoming information from other people's day-to-day lives and that sort of thing. So, have you got any? What do you suggest that people do generally then?
Well, part of the problem, of course, is that people do get very weighed down by the negative states, particularly if it is that you are glued, perhaps, to the media situation, and that you are observing all of this time negative stories from one place or another regarding the actual balance of your planet. So what we're really saying here is that for many people, if you really want to readjust, attune yourself to a different frequency, maybe it might be better if you actually, I'm not saying turn it off and ignore it, but I'm saying is that when you look at a news item upon something, do we say then, like, for example, to do with perhaps some struggle or strife, maybe not as a war, but perhaps to do with certain peoples, maybe a situation whereby people are being abused or in some way being disaffected by any state of situation that you actually disagree with and that you have to logically disagree with, not just saying, in a sense, because so much that we observe has been that fairness has gone out of the realm of people's common understanding. So it appears to be that that is one of the largest pieces of the jigsaw puzzle which are missing in your day-to-day lives. That is, you are being cheated from this effect or that effect, perhaps by the way in which you are pressured financially or many other ways. Maybe you have just lost your home. What are you going to do about that? In many respects, people lose employment. So it means to say that oftentimes what you have to do is reinvent yourself, and you can do that by refocusing your energy, perhaps in different ways, of actually being able to manipulate your own focus so that you can be more positive and more directive with your energy. It also will help you to see, actually through the meditation process and also, of course, through sending an invocation, would actually help you to see and understand exactly what it is that you do need. So as you perhaps may be saying this in silence, or maybe you're mouthing the words out loud, then what you are doing, clearly, is you are placing the thoughts into the physical world, as well as actually animating your thoughts and making them so that they begin to make more sense to you. And you'll find that the more that you do this, the more that you accentuate words and language, you become more familiar with certain ways of speaking and resonating within the thoughts that you actually have.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to join us with a question or a comment on this topic, Gregory, Spirit Gregory, then the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone, and in the USA it's 877-876-5227. In Canada it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. In one of your books you say, can't remember which one it is, I'm afraid, Gregory, Naughty Girl. You say, you must all come to an understanding of how the universe works to you, of how the truth speaks out to you, and that the negatives can enlist your help in their quest for domination only if you let them.
Yes, that's because negativity needs energy in order to survive. So that means to say, and I know full well, that in the case of, shall we say, the 10 Amish children who were slaughtered by the one individual, it was that they actually said prayers to his face as they were about to face his act of passing upon them. And that, so you might say, well, in that respect, then, it didn't actually do them any good, did it? Because what they were praying for was not resolved quick enough. He didn't see it. He didn't understand it because his vibration level was so low. And that was actually because he was entrapped within his own story, within his own negativity of loss of child. This meant that the anger within him was far stronger than even the energy of the innocents as they tried to speak for their lives. And my point here is that actually what that did do was to help him afterwards. And it's actually helped him to see much more clearly about the act that he created. And of course, being that they were all so strong, it actually meant that they were actually there for one another in many respects. And that actually helped to strengthen each of their resolve. Not in the resolve of the fact that they could avert it, because they knew that they could.
So we're fighting negativity, aren't we? Basically, and
yes.
in all its guises, basically.
Yes.
You know,
yes. So if you are looking at something, a normal situation, then shall we say, then the negativity that you have to fight, maybe it's because you live in a very difficult neighborhood or something like that. Then the negativity that you have to fight really stems from, in a sense, of allowing the negativity to pervade. So that it means that it's taken over your life, altered your behavior. Perhaps you do not go out as often as you might purely and simply because the negative energy is there, represented by people who harbor it. So this means to say then, if you do not take the street back for yourself, if you as a people are not able to do that, then it becomes something of a fait accompli, and it will just be a resolution that the negative energies will continue to have their sway, and then will continue to denigrate your own energy.
Okay, so even on that level, on a street level, we're talking about people actually doing something, being positive and having a voice about what they see around them and how they don't like it.
Yes.
That comes from a higher level as well, doesn't it, though? Because, you know, people get put into areas that very often underprivileged people may be.
Yes.
And then they will get lumped in one area, don't they, very often. So that's coming from a different angle totally, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
But then, I guess, really, that is still our responsibility to be able to help in some way and to
yes.
have a voice.
Yes, it is. Even
can you see what is happening sort of thing?
Absolutely so. Even within an area, shall we say, of New York or something like that, which ordinarily had been impoverished by the state of disenfranchisement, of the state of people's understanding the way that they cooperated or not with their lives. What we have seen so often is that if you have one neighborhood which actually is so sick of the vandalism, the state of graffiti or whatever it is that's laden upon the buildings, the way this whole disenfranchisement means that people feel completely unable to be a part of their dwelling space, it means that they actually have to take it back. And the way that they would do that is to form a collective experience in order to challenge the negativity. That's what I'm saying, really. People are only weak when they are isolated, when negativity comes upon them in isolated states. What you have to do is understand that there are many more who are like you, and that what you need to do is to bring yourself together with them. So, coming back to this situation of New York, and it may well be that the neighborhood has this kind of denigrated community. So what you would need to do is perhaps the community's experience has been that there is nowhere for them to go as a collective people to experience perhaps some kind of beauty in their lives. Yes, even inside a very large city like that. So it may well be that instead of just allowing it to happen, that they actually clean up a certain part of it and create a garden in it or something like that, which actually changes the entire atmosphere. Maybe it is that instead of just having nothing upon the roof of some very tall building, that they actually plant a garden on it. And so it's something that's completely different, revealed in a completely different way, perhaps by using some different kind of way in order to allow that experience to unfold. Then you would be able to have even shrubs and you would actually find that wildlife would come and grow there and live there. So it's a situation where people just, in a sense, would actually feel then that they are directing their energy in a positive way and therefore becoming a part of it. That's what I'm saying. People are too readily to lay down the things that they have and think that they cannot do anything about it, purely and simply because they feel isolated and alone. And it's what's always happened, oftentimes, is it not, to physical people. They think that because they haven't been able to do anything thus far, then they are defeated. Then they are completely defeated about their possibilities and what their own individual power is, have lost that power to the power of negativity. As I say, negativity only wins when you give it power.
Yes.
Truly.
Yes. And so it's actually getting people to the point where they believe that the best is still yet to come in their lives. I mean, that is very
yes.
hard.
And that's very true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And that they've got to actively take steps to change their reality if they're not happy with the current situation and make, I guess, the best, what you're saying is make the best of what they've got. And, you know, this is something that I guess people need to focus on a lot more, isn't it, is actually
yes.
what, like you were saying, what you can do, maybe now you have got time on your hands because you've lost a job or whatever, create something that's going to make something beautiful out of the situation
yes.
rather than focusing on what you haven't got anymore and how that's gone out of your life now.
Yes. Now, I would have to say also to add to this point then that it means that this plan would not work if it were that you just went to your authority or whoever runs your surrounding area and said, I want you to put a garden here. And then they take your taxis and go and do that. That isn't actually going to work, because what you need to do is, as a people, you need to do it yourselves, because then you will have more preservation about the place. You will have more understanding about that you want to keep it the way it is. So therefore, you are going to pull people into that alignment. And so that you actually defeat negativity yourself by that purpose, by that strong sense of purpose, because you are collecting all your cells of thought. You are bringing together all of your previously limited skills and honing them into something which is worthwhile. This means to say then, virtually any place that you have currently where people live, where there are gangster situations, whatever it is, and you have these situations of criminalization, what you need to do is to have those people in that situation to pull it back for themselves. And that is really truly what they have to do. So they have to actually have courage to do that. I'm not saying that you would have to go outside of whatever laws there are in existence. Naturally, of course, you could not do that, and I would not advocate it. But what I am saying is that your collective positivity, your way of perhaps seeing and focusing upon a plausible idea in order to turn something around, turn it into a different energy, that is what you need to do. Look at a problem and say, how can I return this, restore this to something which is justified?
Even starting up a support group.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, focusing on the positive.
Yes.
And how everybody can help each other. And
yes.
We were talking about, the other day, we were talking about how if you're a teacher, you can actually teach. Even if you've lost your job now, or,
yes.
You know, or you're, if you're skilled, if you have skills, you know, go along to your local technical college or youth club or whatever and see what you can do. It's really trying to help people to create a life again, isn't it? And to instill some positivity and hope back in their lives.
Yes, and teachers particularly, I have to say, and anyone really who is even partially educated, means to say that you can help someone else who isn't educated. So wouldn't that be a better thing to do than to just do nothing? And to simply accept the loss of your life, surely it would be better that of the purpose of unfoldment, the purpose of creation is to create. The purpose, and every single one of you is a creator.
It's quite funny, actually. You know, by hoping to make a difference in the world, very, very often, you can get labelled as a troublemaker.
Of course, yes.
A very early age, actually, you know, you see things that you don't like and you speak up about it. And it's interesting, isn't it? That now, hopefully, it's like, hello, you know, we are not going to sit down and watch everything happen again. And I'm not meaning, you know, just the economic situation or whatever.
Yes.
Hopefully this has drawn people to the conclusion that, they do, then they can do something, and they should not just rely on other people, giving the responsibility to other people to do something about it if
yes.
they don't like it.
Yes, yes, hopefully that will be the case, although I do not actually see the shoots of that as yet.
Well, I think...
Because it appears to be that there is still a form of status quo which is being relied upon as then carrying the whole format forward once again in exactly the same that things will be just as they were.
Mm. Well, if you were talking about the meditation and actually
yes.
refining our intuition and our skills through meditation,
yes.
I mean, this is going to assist everybody in their daily life as well, isn't it? I mean, what is it that creates this sort of self-awareness, shall we say, that, you know, this knock on the door that they have to do something?
Yes. Well, of course, everything to do with self-awareness is really about education. So that's what you are doing. You are bringing the education into your consciousness, into your mind. Oftentimes, however, what many people do not do is focus their understanding upon one given thing to actually work out, well, what is morally right or wrong. And I'm fully aware that many people have their state of what is morally right and wrong, which will be completely incompatible with somebody else's. So you cannot actually draw a line around that and say, oh, well, this is the model that we want to accept. I'm just merely suggesting here that the way in which this whole communication process works is that people actually open their eyes and their ears instead of just accepting what is necessarily given as a reason or excuse or a justification for a certain form of behavior, that it is actually that community takes up and acts upon ways of adjusting it, ways of making it different. Because clearly, if a community, shall we say, has failed because of its young people, maybe have turned to crime or something like that, the reason for that failure is education. Because they've been educated to think that it is something that will bring them safety or security. Oftentimes, that's the reason why children or young people do turn to crime, purely and simply out of their own lack of awareness of what can actually be brought about, what is possible in their life. If they feel that their life is worthless, then they will echo the same belief system upon the feelings of others and treat life as worthless. Therefore, you will have a systemic attitude of violence and a way of creating mayhem, which in a sense will only bring about a sense of fairness to themselves because they've created it. It doesn't matter whether they're creating something negative or positive. The point is that they're creating something negative, which then gives them a chemical reaction from that creation. It's the creation that gives the chemical reaction. The fact you are then turning it into a negative is something which then tends to feed upon itself. Whereas if you are creating a positive, that is something which is permanent. But is only, in a sense, permanent as long as the mind wants to inhabit that role. And in which case, if it doesn't, the gauntlet has to be taken up by some other, by someone else.
It's interesting. I do want to talk about the chemical reaction situation.
Yes.
But, you know, it made me think. Now, we all know people that, even before this awful situation that the world is facing at the moment,
before this,
there are people, you know, couch potatoes, whatever you want to call it, you know, apathy rules their life. They don't really care. Well, they don't even notice it sometimes, what's going
yes.
on.
It's like they're asleep, dormant.
Yes, okay. So is it... So, and then there's the other people that are going out there and trying to do something good and make a difference. Okay. So, really, it's those people, isn't it, the second example of person that I've just described, that are actually still going to be the ones that carry on to do something about it, isn't it?
Not necessarily, because what you're actually trying to do here within this state is you're trying to ignite some kind of understanding within the other people who otherwise actually didn't take part. And what I'm saying is that people have to wake up and understand that they have to take part. This is their life now.
Yeah,
one chance.
All the people that I know that are like that are just going to say, well, blimey, if they couldn't do anything about it, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it. What do I know? You know, how can I do it? Source any problems. I mean, what is the difference between these people? Between, you know, is it
energy?
Is it is it genetic? You're talking about chemical reactions. Is there no chemicals there to react against anything?
Yes, quite so. Some people who are low on serotonin, for example, or low on certain other chemical stimulants for the physical state, will actually be perhaps less likely to be loving, less likely to be bringing calming effects, less likely to be bringing energy of positivity. That is true, as a chemical reaction, yes, because perhaps they will not see or understand or it will not fire that amount of chemical presence if it doesn't actually exist in the first place. So part of this is a balance issue, genetics. Yes, absolutely. And I cannot, in a state, in some senses, you could say, well, then surely there must be some kind of inoculation that you could have for those people in order to make it so that they actually become active again. The point is that for many people, it is a state of mind that they have become used to. They maybe didn't used to be that way, but they have come to accept it. And so many of these things, these situations, particularly psychological profiles which change through age or which change through lack of awareness, lack of environmental pressure upon them, means to say that they are less satisfied with life and less able at the same time to change it, because their threshold level of chemical reaction to it becomes altered. It would be different if it suddenly happened to someone within their family group, then they might actually suddenly wake up and become angry. Like, for example, some person who actually becomes, shall we say, whose life is taken away by some other person, by a criminal gang or something like that. What you are then faced with is this, not only a broken family, but actually a situation where you're going to ask, hopefully, that they would ask themselves, well, what are we going to do about it now? It's happened to this. It's come to this. How can we actually collect our energy? And very often you will find that in those kinds of states of replete sadness, of absolute devastation through a loss of life or loved one or something like that, which has happened through criminality or a personal act of someone else, you will see mood will change. It will ignite that change. Whereas perhaps it would never have been through that life being lost, that it would perhaps not have become the fait accompli it did.
Okay. So you have to initiate some new thought and questions, though, don't you?
Yes.
Really, somehow.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
But, I mean, is there such a thing as an entrepreneurial spirit, shall we say? A motivated spirit?
Well, yes, of course. But I'm saying, though, that the motivation has usually to come through an act, a physical act, because you live in the physical world. What I'm also saying is that you can gather your energy and make that happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean the one type of person versus the other.
Yes, I understand. It usually actually takes inspiration from the more dominant force, which is positive, to inspire others who are less able, perhaps, to actively take part, but they do relentlessly, in an almost half-hearted, resentful manner.
Well, there are leaders.
Well, yes, I suppose I better do this.
Yes, I mean, there's leaders and there's followers. And then
of course there are.
All of the other in between of that. And it wouldn't do that we were all the same either way,
no,
really.
No, just like any other tribal race or collection or herd of being. Because you're all a herd, really.
We are. We are. So talk about this chemical reaction, then.
Well, so the chemical reaction that happens is one of, it's so depletive. What can happen at times is that the ionization, for example, of your atmosphere can actually create this. One of the situations, incidentally, of radioactive poisoning that is currently enveloping the world. So it means that actually the background radiation of the time, if you had lived in my time of life in 1723, you would have seen a background radiation which was quite different to what you experience now. But that is actually because of the change in ionization through, I understand it is, iodine-131. And that is actually because of the ionization of certain chemicals within the atmosphere, which then actually lays upon you and changes your, not your molecular structure in a sense, but it actually changes the chemistry within you. So what's actually happening is that oftentimes people in, if they are suffering from this kind of poisoning, they oftentimes will become more lethargic. And it's actually what builds up. And part of the problem that we see at this present time within humanity is actually because they're facing this deluge of materials, in a sense, remembering, of course, that the output of just one out of one harnessing power vehicle like this will actually take between 3 and 5 days to circle the planet. That means it's something which is being produced all of the time by all of those power situations within upon your planet's surface. So this means to say it's one of the reasons why it is that you would find a remarkable change if you just simply powered your lifestyles in a completely different way. And this would actually change the whole cocktail of what you are as living beings. So in a sense then, you could say, well then that means that on a molecular chemical level, that I can do nothing about what's happening to me because it's in the atmosphere. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there are ways that you can still focus your positivity and change the actuality of the effects of what happens to you. So, for example, there are certain kinds of plant food that you may take inside yourself which actually dissipates this ionization, as it's not necessarily going to be something which is constantly building. You can actually cleanse yourself of it, I understand, by using certain kinds of phosphate. So this becomes then a possibility. It is also, of course, that it is, in a sense, a part of why it is that you always have to wash everything when you eat it, before you eat it, why it is that you need to try to eat the produce of somewhere that comes from somewhere which is perhaps of a cleaner atmosphere or something like that.
If you know that.
Yes, of course.
Most people would have to guess.
But, yes, I understand.
Okay, but apart from that, people don't realize that they've got the ability to do many things. They may think that they are aware, but all they're doing is following somebody else's trail of thought very often.
Yes.
But then, and everybody's guilty of that to a certain description.
Yes,
aren't
that's
they?
Really because they do not have an actual pathway route. They are perhaps lost from their pathway, so do not see the way forward or the way that they may well be able to then bring access to their key of life. And in a sense, the key to really reinventing themselves in their life.
Yes, and I think that's the crux of the matter that we're talking about, that
yes.
people have to do, is they have to get in touch with their higher consciousness, their spirit, their higher energy, to drive them with a totally different force into creating so that they can reach their full potential, basically, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
And
so,
I think that's the thing that we were talking about with the followers, the couch potato or whatever, is that they actually don't notice. That sort of person doesn't notice, maybe, ever, that they are actually not thinking for themselves.
That is very true, yes. Are not actually even aware of that. How do you wake them up? That is oftentimes the most difficult question. For example, friend, the recent situations surrounding certain aggravation within one particular family, shall we say, the lady who actually had her own child kidnapped, for example.
Oh, in England,
yes. Actually what that did was brought the whole community together and acted as one voice. They were doing things of positivity they had never, ever conducted before in their lives. So they all had a sense of purpose, a sense of direct action that they had to create about a certain event in their lives. And what I'm saying is that the whole essence of what you have to create as a race is that for example, the possibility of losing your planet is actually very prevalent. So that means to say it needs to galvanize you as a race in order to doing something different. And that is the energy I'm saying that you can bring together, that you can really focus in a very positive way so that it is something which happens in all levels on all events. And then you will feel much more responsible for who you are, for who your family is, and be able to carry that energy within your own family group, and then from neighbor to neighbor. And this is a situation then which you would find would be much more actively acceptable. And you would simply dissipate the negative energy you may feel at this time.
So how would you say that we help our children to become free-thinking, you know, individuals while they are still at school age without them becoming rebellious and naughty and cheeky and everything?
Yes, quite so. It's the level of where you allow them to think for themselves. Mm. Allowing in itself is, in a sense, causing restraint, so that, that it will always become something that an offspring will want to rebel from, as most people do. So I'm saying that within the family group, you cannot say that it can never be done or that it always has to turn out this way. What you have to do is find their point of focus. Find that vital interest, even if it's something that you have to work at for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It means that it will be an energy worth spending if you find what really and truly fires their living condition, that what they really want to achieve is then actually achievable.
And you're saying that that's not necessarily anything that's academically learned at school. You're saying any gifts that they have, any natural sort of leanings towards anything, natural abilities.
Yes, absolutely.
Of expression or whatever.
Absolutely. For example, it's one of the first things that you really need to do with an autistic child is find their point of focus. Find the way in which they can collect themselves. Every child, every being has a collection point, because of their interests before they had a physical life, as their pure, beautiful spirit. And that will be something which will then ignite between their consciousness and their spirit, because as a child, they are on a different level. It's only through the physical life, through the gradual thickening that negativity in physical life creates, that a child loses that connectivity with spirit. Now, that doesn't mean to say that a child who is negatively biased in some way, perhaps by creating mayhem to other life forms or even to other human beings. What happens then when the child is very negative and is spiteful or something like that? These are usually qualities which happen between the relationship of mother-child or parent-child in some respect. I'm not putting everything upon mother, of course. I'm not saying that. But it may well be to do with family similarities or situations of disagreement which were voiced during the family state. And these situations may well have happened even before the beginning of physical life. Perhaps they were parents who argued a great deal. Perhaps they were violent to one another, even before the child was born. That doesn't mean to say it's inherent within the spirit, but it does mean it's part of the cell memory of the child. So being a part of the consciousness formulates, in a sense, the underpinning of that child's value and morality, even though they don't actually know it. That's why it is that people have to be so very careful when they are bringing children.
Okay, so good, all positive things there. Thank
Absolutely.
You. We've sure we've found lots of tips and interesting things to ponder during the coming week about that, Gregory. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. With love and light and blessings be upon your journey, my dear friends, everyone. Thank you, sir.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com, and where you can find out more information about us and our books. Like I say, we're new here on a Sunday morning, but we have been here for, this is, like I say, our 240th show. And how great is that? and CBS is just absolutely the place to be. So do join us again next week. In the next coming weeks, we're going to be having some mediums on the program to give you some readings, messages from your loved ones. So do stay tuned and watch the site and see if you want to join us. Join in. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.